This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor and co-host Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
How do we train the local workforce for careers in new technologies? Do we need outside workers to come in to do the job? Well, to discuss that, our guest is Mr. Tim Hebert, who is president and CEO of IT services company Atrion, world headquarters for Atrion in Warwick. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Dave and Mark.
Very quickly, what services does Atrion provide?
So we provide IT services for mid-sized to large organizations that help them connect all their communications together, whether it's voice, data, video, across one common platform.
So you have to be really up to date with whatever changes are coming in technology.
Yeah, we have to be really up to date. And I think the challenge that we see is that it's evolving. It changes every 2 to 3 years where the technology is becoming obsolete and being replaced with new technology.
Plus, you're also, I was going to say, you're also 24/7 too, right? Isn't that one of the things you're offering?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges that we have as an organization. We have to be always on for our clients and be able to provide the services around the clock, whether the weather is good, bad, or it's a holiday or weekend. So it's always being available to provide those services.
With the IT world becoming much more complex, how does that translate in needed IT job skills as opposed to, say, 10 years ago to who you may be hiring this week?
Dave, I think that's a great question. I think the world of IT has changed drastically in the last 10 to 15 years. 10 to 15 years ago, the systems that we installed were very isolated. You had a voice system. You had a data system. You had a customer management system. And they were all isolated. They didn't interact and connect with each other much. And so the technology and the people that worked on that worked in very siloed organizations. They became very knowledgeable, mile deep in technical knowledge. They didn't know the other areas all that well, and they didn't have to communicate with other areas. What we're seeing different today is the ability for the soft skills become strong. We have to be team players. We have to communicate across all departments in the organizations. We no longer just need to know the technical side, but we also need to know the business side of the organization. So the needs of our technical talent has changed drastically, where we used to focus only on technical skills. Now we're having to really focus on the soft skills.
Is the workforce today ready for that, or are you having to step in to really kind of make a different, bring folks up to speed for what your needs are?
I think there's two challenges that we're seeing right now, Mark. And the first challenge is that the number of students that are going through IT-type programs, or even, at a higher level, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics programs, is actually in a decline. So students that we would normally hire 10, 15 years ago that had very strong technical degrees don't have that today. We don't see the same pool coming through. The second challenge that we see is that the people that are coming through, if we're looking at straight technical, they're not putting as much emphasis on those softer skills. So we get smart people, technical people, but they're not necessarily prepared for the team environment, for diplomacy in an organization, providing high-level customer services. So us as an organization, we have to invest a tremendous amount of time training on those softer skills to actually make people more well-rounded. And the other thing we've done is we've really looked at taking people that have strong soft skills, people that are in liberal arts majors, and we bring them into our organizations and we train them on the technical side. So we're having to kind of look at both sides of the equation to kind of find the talent we need.
Now, how does this, an issue that's been coming up a lot, especially in regards to immigration reform in Washington, mm-hmm. are H-1B visas, which are the ability of companies to ask for and receive work visas for, I think it's for 3 years and renewable for another three, mm-hmm. for people who have skills that aren't shown in the U.S. workforce. And one of the things about immigration reform is a dramatic increase in that. And a lot of the big tech companies out in California are really, have been pushing for this kind of thing. It's not something you've gotten a lot into, but, what are your feelings and how do you think it might apply here in Rhode Island?
I think that's a very interesting question and way to look at the situation. So from our perspective, we're a smaller company. We're a 200-employee company. And over the course of our history of 26 years of business, we've had between 3 to 5 people that have come through our organizations with a visa. What we find today is if you look at the talent pool and you divide into three areas, entry-level, mid-level experience, and senior-level experience, what we're finding at all levels today, there is a gap. There's not enough people to fill the roles. And so we will post a position for an entry-level position where in the past we may have gotten 200, 300 applicants. Today we're getting a third of those. And most of the individuals that are coming in, they don't have the qualifications that we necessarily need. They may have the technical certs, but they don't have the soft skills. They may have the soft skills, but they don't have the technical certifications. So, and as we go up the scale, it gets harder and harder. The more seasoned the person we're looking for, the more difficult it is to find. It's not uncommon for a company like Atrion to have positions opened, even in this economy, open for a year, unable to fill it. So what we look at is we need to bring other people into the pool. So these H-1B visa programs allow us to bring in talent into our organizations that we wouldn't get access to in other areas, especially in the more technically oriented disciplines. Programming being one of those. So if I need developers, we find a lot of need in that area. We have one person, well, actually two people have come through into our development practices that we have. Really hard to find some of those talents. There's not people sitting there that are unemployed looking for work that have those skills.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Mr. Tim Hebert, President and CEO of IT services company Atrion, based in Warwick. Where are these H-1B visa people who are coming in, who are getting the jobs, where are they or how are they being educated as opposed to, we'll say, Rhode Island people?
So one of the things that's happening, if you look around the country, the number of foreign students that come into the U.S. for an education, you're seeing that the number of enrollments in most colleges in these technical programs are actually increasing or staying flat at least, but the delta is being made up by people coming from overseas into the United States to study these programs. After they graduate, a lot of these students end up staying here in the country for a period of time to gain essential skills. So at the entry level, if I want a programmer, you know, people that will apply for them, I'll get half of my applicants will be not of this country looking for work beyond college graduation. So part of them are getting educated here in the United States with our schools and our universities.
Are they then the part of the pool for the H-1B visas? If they're students, they're foreign nationals or students here, and they can't sort of extend their stay in any way, they need that special visa to work.
They do, and they need a sponsor to sponsor them to come into that program. So we've worked with a couple of ours that have come to our organization through that exact model. They graduated, we became their sponsor, we pay the legal fees for them to be eligible for work, and then we pay for the renewal if that actually happens. Others, we've worked with organizations that recruit these people bring them in from India, and we work with that organization, and they handle a lot of those kind of functions.
Is there a concern that after all of this training and background that folks may leave and go back overseas and become the competition?
Yeah, I think that the world has changed in the way that we used to think of it being, you know, Rhode Island or New England or the United States. It's a global world now, and I think the mobility of a talent, whether it's a U.S.-born citizen that went to a U.S. college, we have the same concerns where we invest in them and train in them. Will they up and relocate after we made these huge investments? And the answer is yes. I don't think it's any different with people that come in with the visas. What I find in many cases, the people we've worked with, their long-term desire is to become a U.S. citizen, and their work here is a goal to get them into the U.S. So, and do it in legal manners. And we've helped one of our employees actually go through that process, and I'm proud to say they're a U.S. citizen today.
Have you been lobbying the congressional delegation on the H-1B visa issue? Have you talked to them about it?
I can't say that I've lobbied them. I've had conversations with them and other organizations where this is a very big concern. So I would say if you look at the fields that I'm closely related to, the technology field, IT specifically, and the bio-life sciences field, we have a need for more talent. There's not enough talent coming out of our schools that are American-born and live in the United States. We need access to more talent. So in those circuits, we've definitely talked about that. We're advocating it and you know, trying to push the agenda forward.
And we'll have to leave it here. Our guest has been Mr. Tim Hebert, President, CEO of IT services company Atrion, based in Warwick. Tim, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Dave, and thank you, Mark.
And again, thanks to Mark Murphy, Providence Business News.
Always great, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.